It's Thursday, July 16th, 2026, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today we're in the book of Genesis. We're in chapter 27, starting at verse 1, with part 2 of yesterday's message titled, Taking Sides Against the Family.
It's only the knowledge, beloved, of that kind of love and this kind of Savior that drives deep change in us. In our families, to want to be holy. It's the covenant promise that He will fulfill and has for you and your children.
And now here's today's message from Pastor Chris.
Now, what makes this shocking is that Isaac is rebelling against the clear word of the Lord. This was revealed. The older will serve the younger. Against all evidence, against the declaration of the Lord, Isaac idolized his son over God. He fought God on the revealed will. Now, if there's anything I've learned in ministry, and you see these propensities in yourself as a father, it is that we put our children, especially today in the cult of the child, you have to realize what you're in today, helicopter parenting, the cult of the child where the kid is first, your kids are first in everything. Your whole life is constructed around them. It wasn't like that before. It's very strange. We've idolized our children. We've put them at the forefront so that even their spirituality takes a back place to their wants and wishes and desires. And if there's anything that I've seen, anything that I know, it is that all objectivity is often lost when it comes to our children. How many parents, when it comes down to it, support their children in sin? And it's a great danger to be aware of. How is your life constructed? Is it the Lord and His church and His kingdom first, or are your children first? It's a crucial point today, so crucial. Shouldn't Isaac have said, son, your life is one of rejecting the promise? No, but he's determined to bless him. Against God's will. We're sort of on the edge of our seats. This is not pretty up front. Maybe it'll get better. Maybe it'll get better. You know what they say, if mom's not happy, nobody is. Verse 5, Rebekah's standing at the tent door. She hears the whole secret scheme. As soon as Esau goes out into the field, she comes to Jacob. Verse 6, Rebekah says to Jacob, I heard your father. He intends to bless Esau before he dies. And he is going to go get food. Here's what I want you to do. You go get game. And I'll make it just like he likes it. I've been with him a long time. I know how he likes his beef. You will get that blessing. And I want you to take it to him, and he will bless you instead of him. Obviously not a great relationship here between Isaac and Rebekah. I mean, they're not talking. How many wives say that about husbands? He never talks to me. I don't feel love. I feel excluded. How many husbands say she's always trying to control things? Separate lives in the home. When I read this passage, we wrestled with this. I read this passage to my family, and I posed the question, do you think Rebekah was wrong in doing this? Wasn't Jacob the one supposed to receive the blessing? So wasn't it? And we wrestled with that, and she heard the blessing would go to Jacob. Isn't she justified here? kind of went back and forth for a minute. And I said, is it ever okay to break a commandment to accomplish God's will? I say this, there are a lot of things in life we think should go a certain way and don't, right? And it doesn't seem like the promise is being fulfilled. It doesn't seem like God's way. How could God's way actually get accomplished in this, especially if this thing happens? How could it be? And you can bring a lot of hardship on a situation when you attempt to control the outcome. You can bring a lot of hardship in your life this way. You ever look at things and think it's just not playing out? Marriage, husband, wife, children, church, this and that. I mean, you could pick it. Church, I don't like this. Don't like this about my husband. Don't like this about my wife. My children are not doing this right. Does not the anxiety we have over all these things happening, what's the path you take? It's a path of control. It's a path of fret. It's a path of bitterness. And rarely is there prayer and trusting when everything seems impossible. See, now that strikes all of us. Come on, this is last moment. This is last moment. You can't just reverse these blessings. It's clear in the text. He's going to bless the wrong son. So I got to do something. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go put on Esau's clothes and go get it. Rebekah is no angel here. If Jacob, whose name meant schemer, if you wanted to play any kind of tie of transmission of sin, what I said earlier, Jacob learned it from her, from mom. So far, Isaac has rejected the will of God. He chose a son who was of Esau, right? Chose wives who were of grief of mind outside the covenant. Isaac and Esau only care about their stomachs. Rebekah returns the favor with a plan now to pander to his weakness, to play off of his weakness over food to deceive her dying husband. And orders her son, notice this, obey me, to fulfill the mission by deceiving his dying father. How do these people live with themselves? What a family. And now we come to the best of them all. Jacob. Remember, Jacob's probably 70 years old at this point. That's a thought. But Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Behold, my brother Esau's a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be mocking him and bring a curse upon myself and not a blessing. No one seems to be concerned about dying dad." Mom, he's hairy. I can't pull that off. I'm going to get cursed. Let the curse be on me. Do these people know what they're saying? Only my son, obey. You obey me. In any authority structure, when anyone tells you to obey something that's sin, you don't do it. Go deceive your father. So mom puts on Jacob, her favorite son Esau's choice clothing, covers him in the skin of goats on his hands and smooth part of his neck, gives the food to him, and sends him in. It's quiet, walks into his dad's room. Jacob, whose name means deceit, schemer, he is masterful here. This is a lesson in how to scheme. He puts on his brother's clothes. I thought about this. It kind of makes you wonder if Paul thought about this when he said, don't let your liberty become a cloak for vice. Jacob goes in and lies three times. Three times he lies. Father, here I am. Lie number one. I am Esau, your firstborn. I've done as you told me. Please arise, sit and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me. Isaac thinks, I have no idea how you got it this quick. It's a near impossibility. Lie two. He takes the covenant name. The Lord your God gave me success. That's the holy name. So holy Moses bows in his presence. Think of him. And this is like Pastor Gordon, maybe it's a bad thought to use me here, but goes down to the bank and robs it, becomes filthy rich. And one of you comes up and says, how did you get so rich? The Lord God blessed me. The Lord blessed me. I'm blessed. What a scene. Isaac says, I want to feel you. Isaac knows once this blessing's given, there's no return here. It's not going to be changed or altered. Let me feel you. This is Jacob's voice. But his hands were that of Esau. Are you really my son? Are you really my son, Esau? I am. So he eats the game, drinks the wine. Come here, my son, kiss me. And he kissed him. That's betrayal with a kiss. Who else did that? Judas. Even though he smells Esau, all of a sudden it happens, the blessing starts pouring forth out of his mouth. And just scarcely does he leave that Esau comes in and falls apart, wanting something he had already despised. And the scene ends with him seething with rage, I will kill him. Summary, dad and mom have no good relationship. They aren't listening to each other. Marriage seems to be on the rocks. Dad is doing things in secret to accomplish his own will, rejecting the word of God. Mom is scheming in the background, just trying to get control. Both sons are right now living in unbelief, and now one wants to kill the other. Welcome to the holy family. All of them fighting the will of God. Where's prayer? Where's trust? Whole scene's kind of like the American family today. Teenagers are rebelling. Dad and mom have different ideas. They don't know what to do. They're all trying to do to get a blessed life, a happy life. They're on edge. Nothing seems to be working. They all suffered consequences for this. Dad's idol and Esau, consequence, came crashing down. Mom never would see son again after this. This is it. He has to flee for 20 years to Laban. A root of bitterness overcame Esau. Jacob now is about to go and meet his match. Uncle Laban is a better schemer. Oh, Uncle Laban. There's always an Uncle Laban. Now, do you think all this is revealed? Let's get to the punchline here. You think all of this is revealed so that you can say, my family is so together. That's how we show ourselves. We are in a giant family contest often of who is the most together. Pride. Who has the best and most successful children? who are in the best colleges and make the most money, living to achieve the blessed life. And we think that's it. Do you think that's why God told you the story of Abraham's family? So that that's what you will be, what your greatest pursuits are? You think that's why this story's here? All these characters are representations of us. I like to walk. I really love to walk. I spend my time walking. That's where I get my best thinking in. And as I was walking the other day, I couldn't get this thought out of my head. God is so good to us. His goodness is overwhelming. Psalm 145, we sang. He's favored us. He loves us. He's made a covenant. He's blessed us with every good and spiritual blessing. And we have just enough time in this life to do our best to try to ruin it all. What then? What then? If you're living with that guilt, I've got quite a message for you now. The greatest mystery that you'll never be able to comprehend, why life is often so perplexing, mind-blowing, is that all in the midst of all these sinful choices and failures, listen to me, none of them will frustrate the promises of God. None. Not one of them will frustrate His promises to do good to you and to your children. That's why the covenant matters. That's why baptism matters. Shining through all of this is one character. Never mentioned really here, except when His name is used and dragged through the mud. Who's the good character here? It's the Lord. Yes, be thankful for sovereign grace. I can't understand why people fight against this. It shows they have no conception of their heart. Did God give up on Isaac? Did God give up on Isaac? Do you know when Esau came in and said, "I'm your firstborn," said Isaac, trembled violently. There's a big moment in Isaac's life here at the end. You know what Hebrews says? This is mind-blowing. By faith, Isaac invoked blessings on Jacob and Esau. What? If you look carefully, he says to Esau in verse, "I have blessed him." Yes, here it is. This is what the author of Hebrews is looking at. Yes, and he shall be blessed. In the act, as it's happening, he saw what was happening, and he believed. He wasn't in control. He wasn't in control of any of it. Even failing on his deathbed, he saw the Lord working, even through his own refusal to listen to the Lord. But he believed and spoke in faith, says Hebrews. Rebecca was clearly a woman of faith. You have to look at the whole of life, I suppose. You can't zero in always in one moment, can you? I look at the whole picture. She was buried in the tomb of the family of Abraham. She's a woman of faith. Jacob, the heart of it this morning, through all this mess, what happened? The great deceiver in this story had this pronounced to him. "May God give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you and blessed be everyone who blesses you. Where'd that come from? Let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you. Blessed be everyone. That's the promise to Abraham. God made a promise to Abraham years ago when he called him out of Ur of the Chaldeans, saying, you and your children shall be blessed. He would fulfill that promise. He made seven promises. Go from your country and your people and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. Notice this. This is not up for debate. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. That's amazing. God determined that it would be pronounced to him, it was his, before any of this would happen, and in Isaac and Jacob your seed shall be called. And what God is after from us is faith, to believe that promise and to trust him when all else seems to fail. Now there's one tragedy in this story you can't miss, and that's Esau. He just decided to live a life in total unbelief. And the curses, did you notice when the blessings were pronounced, there isn't much blessing on Esau. Away from it all shall you be. What do I say to that? Well, if you're following the path of Esau, and you've chosen to reject all this, the heritage of your family, and you want to go marry pagans, and you want to live a life of total unbelief, you'll perish in your sin. So don't do that. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. You've been given everything. And through Isaac, did you notice, and Jacob, the blessing would come to all nations. There's a way back for the Edomites. But what's our message? The great character in this story is the Lord your God. And it's remarkable because Jesus is our elder brother who had the blessing, who had the birthright, if you will, and who became the curse for us so that we might receive the rich robes of his righteousness. The elder brother became the curse that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus wore the filthy, smelly clothes that we might be covered in his, that deceivers like Jacob might become clothed in the white, clean robes of righteousness and cleansed from every sin.
Well, that's all the time that we have for you today. We thank you for joining us here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We hope you'll join us next time to hear more from Pastor Chris. Thanks again. Till next time, God bless.